welcome. It is Farm Talk in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. I'm Mick Kerr. And a week ago yesterday was the second annual North Dakota Animal Agriculture Summit. North Dakota Livestock Alliance put that on. And tomorrow is the North Dakota Dairy Convention. And here to talk about both of those is the Executive Director of the North Dakota Livestock Alliance, Amber Bashans. Hello, Amber.
Hey, Mick.
How was the turnout at the Livestock Summit last week?
Well, considering Mother Nature was not in the best of moods that day, it was actually a really good turnout. We had 7 below zero plus, I think it was a 30 below wind chill, so the bravest of the brave did come out and still join us. You know, we had probably around 100 folks. Yeah, so it was a great day. We had a lot of great content and good conversations.
Does it look like, seem like, or feel like we're going to have more animal agriculture in North Dakota?
Oh, I think without a doubt that's going to happen here in North Dakota, and it has to happen in North Dakota. You know, 2019 was very evident of how North Dakota needs to get some more animal agriculture in this state. I mean, what are the proportions running now, Mick? I mean, North Dakota's running, for agricultural income, North Dakota's running 80% crop, 20% livestock, whereas South Dakota and Montana and Minnesota are all about 50-50. Mm-hmm. So we are definitely out of balance a little bit.
Last Thursday at the Winter Ag and Construction Expo in Jamestown, I moderated a panel that included North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring, and I asked all four members of the panel, you know, we got the term check off dollars at work. You hear that so often. But how do we have value added? How do we increase value in North Dakota? And is that a function of the state ag department, or how do we get value added without checkoff dollars? And Doug Goring almost jumped out of his chair and said, we need to start feeding more animals. That's a way to add value to all the crops, is to feed them to livestock.
Excellent. Right on, Commissioner. That is absolutely spot on.
So, I'm sure you talked a lot about cattle, but hogs are a big, upside potential for numbers. How about chickens or turkeys in North Dakota? Those are all animal agriculture. Do you see any sector of animal agriculture growing in North Dakota more than another sector?
Well, absolutely. I mean, of course, beef, you know, always has excellent potential in North Dakota because the infrastructure is so strong here with our cow-calf operators and the ability to diversify into backgrounding and finishing beef. But also, you know, the pig side, we have so much potential there because we have such a low pig density in North Dakota, which is really valuable to the pig industry because we want to have space for those pigs because, you know, you and I have had the discussion about biosecurity many times. But something that I really would like to bring up that I actually learned at our summit was from Dr. Bob Toller, who's the swine extension agent at SDSU, said that a 5,000 sow barn, which would be the size of the one that was proposed in Cass County there a couple of years ago, would use 190,000 bushels of corn a year. That's over 1,000 acres of corn.
Wow.
And they would use 53,000 bushels of soybeans, which is over 1,000 acres of soybeans. Isn't that wild?
And that means we could have
how the impact one barn would make.
Yeah,
know?
Which means we could have many barns of animals, hogs especially, in North Dakota.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, to reiterate to the folks listening that, you know, we still want to have that responsible and respectful setback between our swine facilities because biosecurity is our top selling point in this state, and we don't want to step on our own toes and ruin our best sales points. So,
yeah.
And another point, too, that I would like to bring up is for the multiplier that was built in Ransom County, do you remember how much feed that barn goes through? 88,000 bushels of corn and 740 tons of soybeans in a year.
That's
a lot. It can be a game changer for us.
Yeah.
Yep.
All righty. Well, again, value added, more profitability, more animals on feed is what the Dakotas need. All right. Now, tomorrow is the North Dakota Dairy Convention. Speaking of small but mighty, fewer dairy farmers, dairy producers in North Dakota, or have we leveled off?
We've pretty close to leveled off. I mean, we were, you know, we were having the same kind of situation that almost, well, all but two American states were having last year, which was every single state except for two was losing animals, losing dairy animals last year. So it was not just a North Dakota thing. It was an everybody thing. But luckily, our herd exits have reduced greatly. We claimed out, I think we're at 62 herds now and about that 15,500 animals in lactation.
With how many producers, how many dairy farms are there in North Dakota?
That's at 62. Around 62, 63, around there. So
yeah.
There are more dairy cows in one dairy in South Dakota than there is in our whole state. But like you said, small but mighty. I mean, we have very passionate dairy farmers who are sticking it out. And 2019, I mean, no lying, 2019 was really tough on them. And 2019 was kind of the cherry on the top of a hard 5 years.
Now,
but hopefully they're looking up, prices are looking better.
Yeah. Now, one of the challenges, of course, that all animal agriculture, but especially dairy, is the labeling issue, where we've got almond milk, rice milk, and all of these things that the FDA allows to be called milk, but they do not come from an udder. And I know the law has been changed, but we still see it in advertising and labeling.
Sure. You know, and it's interesting to see how, you know, the beef industry and the, I should say all meat industry is kind of facing the same issue dairy did several years ago. But I always like to make sure that it's very clear to all consumers that, you know, choice is a beautiful thing. Variety is the spice of life. It's really important when discussing any agricultural product that we can promote our product, but we certainly do not defamate others. Because to maintain consumer trust and for people to rely on us in the agricultural industry, rely on our farmers, we can't be ripping on each other. But protecting our labeling and our expectations of our recognition of our product is definitely something to keep an eye on.
Is that same moral code analogous when it comes to alternative proteins, the plant protein, the plant, you know, because one of the trends of 2020 here is plant-based is the new black, which is an incredible way of putting it. So do we need, as the prices of these plant-based proteins come down and maybe they get more appealing to a consumer, should we be not dissing on them either?
Well, it's not, you know, I think it's no matter what, agriculture needs to maintain the high road, because if there's infighting, I fear that we will lose face with our consumers, that people will get worried when there's infighting in agriculture. But I do believe that, you know, as long as we can continue promoting the iron content of beef and the niacin content of beef and all of our other, you know, the benefits of consuming those meats. And honestly, are we going to lose any hardcore beef eaters to alternative meats? No. You know, people are still going to want to be out there grilling their burgers and doing their thing. So I just think it's important to maintain the passion and promotion for your product, but to remember that we have to maintain the high road.
And tomorrow, I saw that Dr. Oz is going to be on the Today Show talking about the plant-based burgers, the Impossible Burger, and things like, you know, there's a lot of chemistry in those plant-based burgers. And again, without being too critical of them, I guess we also have to make sure that the experts are telling the truth and call them on the carpet when they're not.
Oh, that is absolutely, I agree. And Dr. Oz, his comments can get a little different sometimes. But
yeah.
So that's where we and, you know, people who are working for Checkoff, people who are working in non-Checkoff promotion groups, you know, whoever, all of us have to work together to ensure that the right information is getting out there.
All right. Amber Bashan's working hard for the North Dakota Livestock Alliance. And tomorrow, have a good time at the North Dakota Dairy Convention. Amber, I wanted to take a moment here and announce something very important when it comes to livestock on the farm. There is one critter very important. And over the weekend, the American Farm Bureau Federation named Flint, an Australian Shepherd from Utah, as the 2020 Farm Bureau Farm Dog of the Year. owned by Beth and Rhett Crandall from Utah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, puppy, and I was a teenager, and he has been a very important part of my life ever since then. I participated in the 4-H dog program with him, and he helped me exercise my 4-H and FFA livestock all through high school. And when Rhett and I got married about 3 years ago, Flint became an integral part of our ranching operation.
So, Beth's grandma gifted Flint back when he was just a puppy, and of course, she was a teenager then, and now Flint, very important part. So the 2020 Farm Bureau Dog of the Year, Flint, from Utah. So we've got to take note of all the livestock on the farm. All righty. Amber, again, thanks for the work you do. And with the 62 dairy farms in North Dakota, thank you for gathering them tomorrow and getting everybody's spirits revved up. And again, dealing and helping the mental health issues is one of the other production issues that needs to be addressed. So thanks for doing that also.
Well, it is my pleasure, and it's always a great day to spend with dairy farmers. I treasure them.
You know what I did over the weekend during the blizzard? I polished off that half a gallon of vanilla ice cream that I had in the freezer. So that.
All right on, Nick.
On a 20 below day, ice cream tasted good. So thanks to North Dakota dairy farmers. Thank you, Amber.
Thank you, Mick.
You bet.